Hello, and welcome to the Logistics Management Podcast Series. My name is Jeff Berman. I'm Group News Editor for Logistics Management Magazine and the Peerless Media Supply Chain Group. Today, it's a real pleasure to welcome back Chris Rogers to our podcast. Chris, as you may know, is the Research Director for Panjiva, a New York-based global trade intelligence firm and a subsidiary of S&P Global. Prior to joining Panjiva, Chris served as Global Content Manager and International Trade Analyst for Bloomberg Intelligence. When it comes to really digging into the state of global trade activity, Chris is probably the number one guy, as far as I can tell, in terms of getting up-to-date data and analysis related to things like tariffs, the trade war, and really now, obviously, the impact of COVID-19 on things, too. With that as a backdrop and an introduction to Chris, I'd like to really say, hey, thanks for coming back and joining us again today.
No, you're very welcome. And thanks for having me along again, Jeff.
Yeah, absolutely. Happy Friday, too.
Indeed. Happy Friday to you.
Yeah, yeah. So, Chris, I mean, we talk monthly. We talk about your numbers, the U.S.-bound, waterborne shipments, containerized shipment numbers. There's a lot. There's a lot going on, a lot to chew on, if you will. Why don't we start with sort of what we would usually talk about, which would be the level of U.S.-bound imports at the moment. And that just comes to top of mind, just given the ongoing strong numbers we've seen in recent months, specifically, for example, from the ports of Los Angeles and Long Beach, i.e. the San Pedro port complex out in Southern California. Not just LA and Long Beach, but just overall what's happening with US bound imports and what's sort of driving them at the moment.
Yeah, sure. So I would say the issues that you're seeing at LA and Long Beach aren't unique to what's going on. If you look at US seaborne imports totally across the whole country, they've gone up by around 16% in October. That's pretty much a slightly faster rate than we saw the month before. And there's a lot behind that. The biggest part really, though, is being driven by consumers. And there's a couple parts to that. One is, as you'd expect, the imports of things like household and personal care products. So pharmaceuticals, hand wash, that sort of stuff. And we've seen the imports of healthcare products are up by nearly a half year over year. And the imports of those things like home and personal care products are up by around a third. And, you know, that's obviously being driven by the pandemic still being around.
Sure.
The other big part is the imports of things for consumer retail. So here we're thinking about household appliances, home furnishings, leisure goods. So that's everything from exercise equipment to toys. And those are up massively. So, for example, household appliances are up by just over 70%, furnishings are up by over a half. So, you know, clearly the products are arriving at the dock. As you perhaps alluded to, though, the problem isn't them arriving at the dock, it's what happens next. And
right.
You know, that's particularly been an issue at LA and Long Beach.
Yeah, no question about it. And, you know, obviously this time of year, everyone's gearing up for holiday shopping. There's been more than a few reports indicating that if you don't get your holiday shopping done earlier than usual, that your gifts may not get to where they need to go in a timely manner for Christmas, for example. You know, peak season, this peak season is really shaping up to be unlike any other one in the past, in that it started well ahead in advance, and many experts seem to think it's going to go on into early next year. And there's more than a few components going on with that. But I mean, how do you assess sort of what's going on as it relates to the 2020 peak season, Chris?
Yeah, so I think we've mentioned the consumer demand, and that's a huge part behind it. I think what you've also got that you don't normally have is the restocking of a lot of industrial supply chains at the same time. So these are American-based manufacturers who are trying to bring in products who normally maybe wouldn't be importing during peak season, but because they were shuttered earlier in the year, so during the second quarter when we had the big COVID-driven industrial closures, you've got those guys in the mix as well. There's also probably, I would say, a degree of attempts to front load on a just-in-case basis. So, you know, just in case there are further challenges, coming from a renewed or a continued surge in the pandemic. I think there's also probably concerns about the ongoing, reliability of some of the shipping systems. So, for example, Hapag-Lloyd have had to pause the sailing of a vessel just outside of Busan in South Korea because the a number of the crew have come down with COVID-19. And as a consequence of which, you'd be sat there going, okay, I'm facing these various different problems. Shipping might not work. We've seen, issues of getting empty containers back again. The whole system's kind of gluing up. And we wrote something just the other day, actually, talking about Bissell, and they make vacuum cleaners and those kind of things. And they basically said that the major ports are just solidly stuck now. There's the dwell times of something like doubled from where they normally are. So I think everybody's keen to get stuff in during peak season on a just-in-case basis, the consumer demands there and the industrial demands there. Now, how long is that going to last is of course the golden question. Normally you would expect volumes in November to be lower than they were in October. But if we look at the international shipping rates, that's just not the case. And we had some commentary, I think, from Maersk in the past couple of days, where they've essentially said, we're running at full tilt now. There's no blank sailings. The boats are full. We're doing everything that we can. So, I would say it's certainly going to be another couple of months before we get clear or clear some of these backlogs out of the system.
Right, and that's a nice segue too. Because I know we talk a lot about inventory rebuilding, inventory replenishment, and obviously it's different for different sectors. And you had alluded to consumer demand. Obviously, we're still in a state of really elevated demand, especially here in the States and many other continents, just given that we're just staying at home more and we're not going to ball games, we're not going to concerts or whatever. We're ordering stuff online. So, I mean, early on, back in the early days of the pandemic, if you will, back in mid-March, we saw that run on consumer products and things like that, and certain types of perishables too. It could kind of skew the numbers in a way. But now that we're 8-9 months into this, where do you assess what's happening as we look at inventory rebuild? Because don't you have to sort of compartmentalize what's happening with peak and then what's happening with, or I guess what already happened earlier in the year? Are there kind of a few different balls in the air when we should be thinking in terms of how we should be approaching or thinking about the state of inventory rebuilds?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the thing that actually worries me at the moment is, if anything, we might see inventories end up getting overbuilt. So, I mentioned a few minutes ago about the surge, the double digit growth that we've seen year over year, and the imports of some of these consumer goods. And yet when you look at the retail sales numbers that came out earlier this week, total retail sales, if you exclude autos, they're only up by around 7% year over year. So whilst there's been a comeback in terms of purchasing, we're only about 7% above pre-pandemic levels, but we're seeing imports that are, depending on the product, 20% to 50% above pre-pandemic levels. And it's also worth bearing in mind, if this stuff is stuck at the docks, it's also not yet at the warehouses. Now, even if you're getting released now, it can take a week or two to get to the warehouse, and it can take a week or two to get to the stores. So you may well find that there's a lot of product that's not necessarily going to be getting to, the Amazon distribution center or the Walmart storefront, in time for deliveries to be made. And you may well see, actually, either demand won't get fulfilled, or everybody's been assuming that the demand will be there. I think as a side point, I think when you and I talked before, there were plenty of expectations from retailers and retail organizations saying that there would be a big pull forward of purchasing into October. 7% year over year growth doesn't look like massive pull forward. Normal growth is 3-4% year over year when you're looking at US retail sales year over year. So, I do worry that there's too many goods in the system. It's jamming up the system, and there may be, too little too late. We won't know that, of course, until the retailers start to report their earnings for the final quarter and we see what their inventory numbers look like.
Absolutely. And you had just mentioned a pull forward, and that's a really good segue, because I was going to ask you about tariffs. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Chris, but a year ago at this time, weren't we seeing a bit of a significant pull forward activity in advance of expected tariffs to be levied by the U.S. on China? I can't remember if it was part of Section 301 tariffs or not, but and you said that maybe that isn't as evident now based on the percentages you just cited. But I guess it's a two-part question with the tariffs as a backdrop. Sort of how do you view the current state, of tariffs as it relates to trade? And also as sort of a part two or a B to that, if you will, sort of the what does the impact of a Biden administration mean and look like for trade?
Yeah, sure. So you're right. Firstly, there was a pull forward last year. So we saw a much higher than normal uplift in the third quarter. In 2018, of course, that happened in October. So it coincided with peak season as we went through these kind of periodic kind of spasms of concern about increasing tariffs. And obviously with the phase one trade deal being signed in January and coming into force in February, we did see those worries disperse. And, you know, that's maybe one of the reasons along with the pandemic that we saw such a drop in imports earlier this year. I'm still concerned that we may see President Trump decide in the last few weeks of his administration, or we'll say the current administration, depending on whose outlook of the elections you believe. But you know, there is a risk that President Trump decides in the next few weeks that actually, you know what, we need to be tougher on China. And if anything, we actually see the trade deal being unwound in a kind of burn the house down approach. But right. Assuming that the legacy, he wants to keep the current legacy of the phase one trade deal, nothing to worry about. Now, the question is, what happens under a world with President-elect Biden? It's very clear from both the Democratic Party platform and the announcements that he was making just in the speech earlier this year that you know he wants to maintain a tough attitude towards China. Sure. So, you know, tariffs aren't necessarily going away. I think, however, there is, you know, very much a desire to make friendly with America's key allies, including the European Union, including countries like Japan. So, you know, whilst the China tariffs may not go away, we might see things like the tariffs on European Union imports related to Airbus and all of that backward and forward, that might go away. The tariffs that are being applied on steel and aluminum might go away, and that would be good for American exporters as well, because they are facing tariffs on the other side of the fence as well. So, you know, the president-elect has said very clearly, to quote, "I hope to be prepared to announce on January 21 his pretty thorough plan for trade, both in terms of trade deals and tariffs and so on." So we'll have to wait and see until then. But I think the China tariffs aren't going to go away straight away. I think it's also worth bearing in mind that the president-elect has made it clear that job number one is COVID, job number two is American employment, and you know, tariffs and trade policy will have to kind of take their turn.
Right. Okay. Great. And just to wrap up, Chris, I did have one more quick question, just sort of a COVID-related question. You know, if we were to fast forward, say, a year from now, say the vaccine has been successfully implemented and everyone's had their shot and sort of life is closer back to normal, you know, or at least on the way back to normal, if you will, compared to present times. What does that mean for the state of global trade, global shipping? Will we see maybe any type of reset, or will there be sort of a continuation perhaps of lessons learned, if you will, in terms of how shippers, importers, exporters approach inventory management, approach peak planning? In other words, are there things that we're going through now that perhaps could be viewed as potentially permanent as we get back to a normal type of life, if you will?
Yeah, sure. We've written about this quite a bit in our research, talking about these kind of four different stages of the impact of COVID. We had the initial disruptions to manufacturing supply chains. We had demand destruction. We've had the uneven opening of supply chains and an industrial economy, which is what we're going through at the moment. And the fourth stage is saying, okay, how do we deliver for the future? And I think there's a lot of lessons that we're already seeing companies take on board, things around, you know, maintaining the right level of inventories. So not, you know, running at a bare bones basis, because, you know, a lot of supply chains have shown themselves to be quite fragile. I think we're going to see companies talk about wanting to shorten their supply chains. And certainly, government policy is supportive of that when you look at some of the things the Biden administration, the president-elect Biden has talked about and the Trump administration have talked about in terms of, you know, producing medical supplies closer to home. So, yeah, we are, as we emerge, hopefully, from the industrial side of the impact of the pandemic, begin to see companies make those decisions, learn those lessons, and, you know, as they say, build their supply chains back better for the future. Hopefully, if we have this conversation in a year's time, we'll be talking about, you know, a year-over-year drop in imports because everything's normalized from these crazy levels at the moment, and companies, you know, being able to invest for the future.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, that's a good spot to wrap it up, I think, Chris. On behalf of Logistics Management Magazine and the Peerless Media Supply Chain Group, I want to offer up a big thank you for joining us once again on our podcast. It's great to have you.
It's great to have been here. Thanks very much.
Absolutely. And thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Please don't forget to check out the Supply Chain 24/7 podcast, wherever you get podcasts, and to give us a follow on Twitter at LogisticsMGMT. And that's a wrap. So thanks, everyone, and have a great day.